I appreciate that good question. The reason we have to obey our parents, or the reason we it's not right to murder or steal or anything like that, I'll illustrate this way. I see Rhode Island was one of the original 13 colonies. Is that right, Timothy?
I can
say this. What? Certainly was. So you had these colonies that were under British rule, and they might have had some laws they were under. Well, let's take two example laws. One, don't murder. Two, pay taxes to the king. Okay? Then they revolted, 1776, and they created their own law. They instituted many of the same laws that were in the law of England. Like, for example, don't murder, don't steal, those kind of laws. Just about every country has those kind of laws, civilized country. But they didn't put in there the law to pay taxes to the king. I'm afraid we're paying more taxes to the president than we were paying to the king then, but you know what I mean. You get the drift.
Yeah, we have tea parties now.
So under the Old Testament law, we had this law, and it was for the Jews, the whole law. Now the law of Christ is for all of us, Jew and Gentile. In the New Testament law, we have laws like obey your parents, don't murder. But we don't have the Sabbath law. All of the rest of the Ten Commandments you find in the New Testament, except the law to keep the Sabbath, is conspicuously absent. You see what I'm saying? So the whole law was done away with, including all of the Ten Commandments. But 9 out of 10, and many other of the Old Testament laws, are redone in the New. Like, for example, in the Ten Commandments, it didn't say don't be a homosexual, but it did in other places in Leviticus. You see, so it wasn't just the Ten Commandments that were important back then. Somebody has counted 613 laws back then. They were all important because they all came from God. They had to obey them all. In the New Testament law, we have 9 out of the 10 Commandments, and we have a bunch of other of the same laws, like don't be a homosexual, for example, in Romans 1. But there are some laws that aren't repeated, therefore they're not binding upon us. Sabbath, circumcision, animal sacrifices, and so forth. Justin, you may want to take a crack at that question.
Oh, I think probably that's well done, but I wanted to ask a question, too. I was concerned a couple of times you said, you know, if you are doing the Sabbath, you're not saved. Is that correct? Is that your concern for us?
In the context of Galatians 5, there were some people that were Christians, evidently used to be Jews, and they were trying to bind circumcision. They were taking this law from the Old Testament, putting it in the New, and saying, these Gentiles who want to be Christians have to be circumcised, okay? And that's the context of that is Galatians 5:3, where he said if you try to bring forward any law of the Old Testament, you're a debtor to the whole law. So, Justin, you guys are doing just like those Jewish Christians were doing in trying to bring circumcision over. You're bringing another law, the Sabbath, and saying you're taking a law from the Old Testament that doesn't apply to the New Testament law and saying it does apply. So you're doing the same thing that those Galatians were doing, and he said, to them, Paul did, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So yes, this issue affects your salvation. That's why I'm here, to try to persuade you otherwise in a kind way. Remember what Hebrews 5:9 says? Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. If we're not obeying him, then we're not going to be saved. Yes, sir. But I don't know your name back there. Charles, go ahead. I can just tell from your interest in the Bible that I believe you love God, right? So you want to follow what he has to say. Suppose, though, I know you said that the Pope changed it, the Catholics changed it. Suppose, though, you could read a verse in the Bible that says that God says the Sabbath is no longer binding today. It was under the Old Testament law, but not under the New, like Colossians 2:14-17. Wouldn't your love for God then, and I'm not asking you to make a decision tonight, I want you to consider this. Wouldn't your love for God then say, since God said this, that the Sabbath was blotted out, taken out of the way, nailed to the cross in Colossians 2:14-17, and some other passages I brought up tonight, then wouldn't your love for God demand that you accept it because God said it and you love him? Now I'll address your point about the salvation by works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. James 2:24 says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Sounds like a contradiction on the surface. Ephesians 2 is discussing what I'll call the basis of our salvation. What actually pays for it, okay? Is it our works? No. No matter how much we work, we couldn't pay for it. It's the blood of Christ. So our works don't save us in that sense. We're not justified by works. The blood of Christ does it. James 2 is just discussing whether or not the salvation provided for by the death of Christ, which is the basis for our salvation, is that conditional or unconditional? It's conditioned upon our works. So there's no contradiction. The Bible is just teaching what pays for my salvation? My works? No. The blood of Christ. Do I have to do works in order to receive the free salvation provided for by the death of Christ? Yes. Perhaps Justin would like to say something at this point.
I wanted to say, Pat, that you knew, of course, that the Christians observed for at least 300 years the Sabbath. The people who changed the Sabbath day pro tu Sunday were doing so on the basis of their antipathy for the Jews. They were doing so by edict of the king. They were punished for Judaizing, and eventually Sunday became the day of the Roman Church, and it is inherited by people who will not and have not and cannot see. It reminds me of the people who were digging in the ditch, and one of them was looking at the other and said, "Why are we in this ditch digging, and those people with the machine guns are up there making us do that? Why is that?" And he said, "Well, we better, why don't you go up and ask?" So he held up his hands, he went up to the people, and he said, "Why is it that we're down in the ditch and you're up here with the machine guns? Why don't we just train?" And the guard said, "It's because you're uneducated." He said, "For instance," he said, "you go ahead and hit my hand as hard as you want." The guy said, "Really?" "Yeah, go ahead." So he hauled back and he hit. And just before he hit, this poor guy mashed his hand right into the post. Well, he went back down with an aching hand. You've heard this, maybe. And got his shovel, and he looked at his companion, and the companion said, What did you do?" He said, "Well, it's because we're uneducated. Let me give you an example. Go ahead, hit my hand. You hear everything, but you cannot understand. Now, you believe that if we keep the Sabbath, we lose our salvation, and I can understand your concern. We will probably disagree on that point tonight, tomorrow, and into some other time. I reject the idea that salvation depends upon keeping or not keeping any particular day. I reject that idea, and I think it's important that you should go with the assurance that we want to debate these issues, and I really appreciate your time." This is in Romans, and Romans is the place where thought was more important than deed. The idea that you could be righteous if you were thinking righteous, your body could do whatever, your mind was the thing that had to be clean. And that, of course, was something that Paul was trying to say. You can't do that. You have to have a standard. Now, the standard can be yours. You can believe that it's wrong to pick up somebody else's literature. It's not a salvation issue, but it's a law. If you can't, you can't. You can believe that it's more righteous to worship on Sunday, but it's simply a question of whether you can accept history or not. History, you say, the Bible says that Sabbath days were many other days, of course, than Sabbath only. Sabbath just simply means rest. It didn't mean come to church. It means you were to rest on the Sabbath. Now, we probably err by making Sabbath a day of activity, but we love each other, and we stay together as a family, and we worship as a family, and then we go and eat as a family. And I just heard, "What, you don't have houses to eat in?" Somebody said, "No, we go to a restaurant or we eat at home. We don't in a church." No. Why? Because there's a little sentence that says, "Don't you have houses to eat in?" What was he saying? Some people come, they have plenty, they eat too much. Some people don't have anything, they sit there and watch. I do not believe anywhere you keep the Sabbath as a must. You keep the Sabbath because it is a gift for us. Whether you will accept the gift or not is your choice, not God's compulsion, right? I think if he really believes that we are not saved if we do that, it's something that I think we should both study further on. I don't want to keep everybody here, but I do want to have questions. So if some are free to leave or some want to continue, that's fine.
Go ahead.
But you believe that adding to the law will kill you. Did you have refreshments here? Is that free for you to do or not? Is it a? It is. Uh-huh. You are free to participate or not. It doesn't seem to be an issue of salvation to you? No. So I feel that we all have free will. We will eventually end up with the Lord forever or not. And nothing in obedience brings to that conclusion. Now, you're saying a higher law. What I said was, I have a higher standard than I always reach. And for that reason, I consider myself always trying to attain something better. Do not just control my temper, but not to have a temper. Right? When Jesus was saying, "You have heard that it hath been said," you know, in Matthew 5-7, the Sermon on the Mount, "but I say unto you," he made the law stricter. It is, and the disciples said, "Why? We can't do that. You want our thoughts to be under control too?" Well, you know, you can put on a church face, nice and pleasant, but your thoughts are your private possession. Are you filtering all those thoughts by the power of the Spirit? Or do you say sometimes, "Sorry, Lord, take that away from me"? You know, we have a higher standard than we can reach always. And we do continually try to understand. If the law, coming 430 years after, you know, if the law cannot make righteous, not doing something cannot make righteous, observing Sunday cannot make righteous. Now, you've gone to talk about we're not under law. What are you under? What are you under if you're not under law? Under the law.
Let me finish his point. I'm not sure you answered what he said. Basically, his point is that if all these passages teach the Sabbath is no longer binding, if that is true, yet you still say we're supposed to keep the Sabbath, then he's saying you're in effect adding to God's word. And Revelation 22 and 18 and 19 basically says if you add to God's word or take away, you're in effect going to be lost. And we say this out of love. But Revelation 22, 18 and 19 says if you add to or take away from God's word, basically he's going to take your name out of the book of life. You won't be saved anymore. That's why we come here with love and say, look, you're binding something that's not supposed to be part of God's law anymore. Therefore, you're adding to God's word, in effect, by doing that. You come under the censor of Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Your name will be taken out of the book of life. We say that with all love, but I believe that was his point.
I see. But you see, if something is wrong to begin with, you can't make it right by going back into Scripture and saying, oh, breaking bread means the communion. There's no proof. You're taking your position and going back into Scripture and finding little places where it might occur to some people that the breaking of bread means not breaking of bread, but the wine and the bread. You're saying lay by on the first day of the week so that there be no collections when I come. Now, it's true that there was a first day of the week that Paul spoke. He did that once. But he spoke many Sabbaths. And he spoke not only to the Christians that were Gentiles, but to the Christians that were Jews. There was always a dispute when Paul came. Some believed, and some sought to kill him.
Another question. Well, in the context, what was going on is people who believed in Christ, they weren't exactly turning from Christ in the way you're saying. They're still believing in Christ, but they're adding to it. You've also got to be circumcised. They're taking a law from the Old Testament and saying it's binding under the new circumcision. So this would apply to anybody taking any law that was Old Testament law and not in new and putting it in the new. Would we like to go to the 5-minute rejoiners now and close the thing out? Or Tim, go ahead. You had your hand up. Unless you have a question. We many times end up worshiping on a Saturday. Nothing wrong with that. It's when you try to say that the Sabbath is still binding today, that's what's wrong. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever you're justified by the law, you're fallen from grace.